Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
This program is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries, Post Office Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0. I'm your host today, Brian Wilkie of St. Andrew's Christian Church in Rockland. I want to thank you, our listeners, for supporting us with your prayers and for your financial support that is helping us make this broadcast. Please remember that you can always visit our website for materials that will encourage you and support you in your Christian walk. And if you miss an episode of the show, you can go to our website and download the podcast or the MP3 of our broadcast. Details can be found on our website, gncm.ca. goodnewschristianministries.ca. Today I want to speak to you about your appetite. I hope you all have a healthy appetite for good, nutritious food, but I want to speak to you about a spiritual appetite. And to lead into this, there's a scripture that has been speaking to me and in my preaching to my congregation in Rockland. It's been an important message in the last little while. So from the prophet Haggai, beginning at the beginning of chapter 1, he writes, "In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. This is what the Lord says. These people say the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but you have harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but you are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build the house so that I may take pleasure in it and to be honored, says the Lord. You expect much, but you see it turned out to be little. What brought you home, or what you brought home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty, because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with his own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew, and the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the oil, and whatever the ground produces, on men and cattle, and on the labor of your hands." The word of the Lord. So, God has chastised the people of Israel who had just returned from exile. Well, they had returned from exile a couple decades before. They had been cast out of Israel by Babylon. They had spent 70 years in captivity until God delivered them from that captivity, and they came back and they built the walls to protect Jerusalem. And they rebuilt their houses that had been ruined in the battles of 70 years before. They got themselves settled in, and they thought they would get going on the temple, but they got distracted. They got busy making their houses nicer, making sure that their crops were doing okay, and trying to fill their storehouses. And God gives them a message and gives them a warning about what they're doing wrong. So let's take a look at this scripture in a few moments after we hear a piece of music that celebrates who Jesus Christ is. This is called Who You Are, and it's sung by Cademan's Call. Now, the people of Israel were neglecting the Lord's house, the temple, which they were supposed to build. Every time the people of Israel drift away from God and don't pay attention to Him, they forget about justice, they forget about loving one another, they forget about living the way that honors God and leads to their security. They keep on doing that over and over again. And this time, God's not going to let them get away with it. He tells them that they need to take a look and connect the dots, because they came to Jerusalem rejoicing, expecting things to really, really go well, and they did for a while. But now things aren't going well. He says, you expected much, but see, it's turned out to be little. And he essentially tells the people, put two and two together. Think about this for a bit. Try and figure out why things aren't working out. You plant what you plant, and you don't seem to get enough. You eat, but you're never satisfied. You drink, but you never have your fill. Nothing seems to be satisfying them, and nothing seems to be going quite as well as it should. And God says, okay, I'll tell you what it's about. It's about your neglect of the things of God. It's this symbolized by this temple that you've refused to build, where you've refused to honor me and you've refused to put an effort into following me and doing what's right. And so God has sent drought. God has sent a failure of their crops, and everything that they wanted so badly that they put ahead of God is being restricted. It's not going well. Now, the people of Israel responded. They built the temple and they honored God. And that is just a wonderful thing that they did in their lives. But do you hear a lot of similarity between what the Lord says to the people of Israel and what we experience in the world today? Look around. You see people who are eating but never satisfied. They enjoy food and drink, but it never seems to be enough. You see people concerned with fashion, with the way they look, with dressing up, with making up, with decorating their bodies in all kinds of ways, but they're never satisfied. And we have a powerful economy. We are among the richest people that have ever lived in history. We have toys and delights that other generations couldn't even have dreamed of. And yet, we seem to be a very unhappy generation. Money seems to just come in and go out, and we find ourselves never quite having enough. You can look around and see people who've put their priorities in the wrong place. They have appetites that just can't be satisfied. Now, appetites are a good thing. I think we have to agree that if you're alive, you have appetites. And if you don't have the right appetites, it's likely that you're going to have trouble staying healthy. Because we need an appetite for food. We need an appetite for drink. We need an appetite for rest and for play. We have all these appetites that are very important. They are our servants, but they should not master us. But there is an appetite that is more important than any of these. And of course, that is the appetite for God. Because God is truly the source of our life. Yes, He gives the things we need for life through the provision of food and oxygen and water and warmth through the sun. But God is the source of all these things. And without God, all these things lose their joy, lose their savor. Life itself becomes meaningless and purposeless, and people, even in the best material circumstances, can fall into despair if they don't have some significance in their life. So God says, give careful thought. Give careful thought. Think about what's most important. Have you been neglecting the temple of God? Now today, we're in a quite different situation than the people of Israel were. And the temple is not a physical building somewhere. Paul says quite explicitly that our bodies are the temple of God, that God now dwells in us. When the Holy Spirit came, that's God dwelling in us. And our bodies are not merely our homes, but they are God's temple. And while we might look around at the world chasing after all kinds of appetites but neglecting God, this message wasn't delivered to people outside of faith. This was delivered to people that were in God's family. And so we might want to point this particular scripture at ourselves and ask ourselves, which appetites are we pursuing as we pursue our lives? Well, let's again take a short break as we listen to something else. This song is a song sung and written and sung by a friend of mine, Stephen Cowley, and it tells about the barriers to faith that we have in ourselves. And let's remember that it's not just about the unbeliever, but the believer whose faith is not yet complete because we haven't yet fully trusted Jesus Christ. We are saved, but our faith is not giving us all the benefit it can in leading us in the way of Christ. So here is We Would Not Believe from Stephen Cowley's album Dross to Gold. How is our appetite for God? When we come to new life in Christ, we are born with new appetites. We are a new creation, and with it comes new understanding of what our needs are. And it's not just a thing of our heads. Appetites are a thing that involve our whole being, don't they? We can rationalize and reason about appetites, but they're a driving force in us. God made us that way, and when He remakes us as new creations in Christ, He makes us with an appetite for Him. So it's not always a challenge to pursue an appetite. The appetite picks you up and moves you in the direction that you need to go. And so the Christian has an appetite for time with God spent in prayer. The Christian has an appetite for time with God spent in service. The Christian has an appetite for time with God spent in His Word. The Christian has an appetite for time with other believers, where the presence of God is there in a special way, as Jesus says, "When two or three of you are gathered in My name, I am with you." The Christian has an appetite for hearing from others, for being encouraged by others and encouraging others. And that's why we gather together on a regular basis to study the Word together, to encourage each other, and to think about how we can serve God better. He's given us an appetite for those things. But sometimes we do lose our appetite, don't we? Sometimes, for various reasons, we can completely forget to eat. We can forget to drink. We can end the day with a great big headache and realize that we hadn't had any breakfast and we hadn't had lunch. Somehow or other, we're distracted from these important things. Sometimes emotionally, we are turned away from our appetites. Sometimes when we suffer great loss, we fast not because we choose to fast, but just because we just don't feel like eating. How is that in your Christian life? Has your appetite for God been put aside by distractions? Has it been replaced by an appetite for other things? Are we trying to fill the hole in us with the wrong kind of materials, trying to fill it with experiences and with toys and with games, trying to fill it with busyness, instead of turning to God and letting Him fill His temple? Sometimes we can ruin our appetite by taking the wrong things in. Eating junk food before dinner, did you ever get told not to spoil your dinner? Do we fill our minds and our hearts with so much stimulus, so many ideas, so many different inputs from television and radio and the internet and all around us, and fail to take what's most important? Well, I think God calls us, just like He called the people in Haggai's day, to connect the dots here. Is all of our pursuing of other things outside of God fulfilling us? Are we satisfied? Are we enjoying the daily bread that God gives us, the bread of His Word and a fellowship with believers? We can find more satisfaction if we allow God to restore our appetite for Him, if we will take more of an opportunity to eat nutritious spiritual food and find that we don't actually need the junk food as much as we thought we did. Can we learn to enjoy wholesome spiritual food? Yes, we can. And we do that by making sure that we don't dull our tastes with junk, by making sure that we consider carefully what we're doing and what the return is on our efforts, and rebuild our bodies as a temple of God, rebuild our life as a temple of God. Well, thank you for looking with me into God's Word today, and thank you for your encouragement and support. We want to thank you because you keep us on the air financially week by week, and you pray for us and you encourage us with your emails. We're just so thankful to you, our listeners. Can I encourage you to continue to support our ministry financially? Good News Ministries is totally supported by listeners' donations. And so if you go to our website or put a check in the mail, you can help us keep this broadcast going. Wherever you live, your donation is so much appreciated. If you are a Canadian resident, we can give you a tax receipt and income tax time, and you can send your check to Good News Christian Ministries at Post Office Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0. I also want to encourage you to tell others about this program. Now, do be sure to worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. Before we conclude the program, may I pray with you. Almighty God, thank you for your word. When we see how you disciplined the people of Israel by sending a drought to remind them of their priorities, we see that even in your discipline, you're merciful. You lead us in the right way. So please, Lord, lead us to come to the well of living water. Lead us to come to the living bread, Jesus Christ. Lead us to come to Him, to trust Him fully, and to enjoy the life that he gives us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And we're going to conclude the program with a song from Michael Card that speaks about that total focus on Christ. Be Thou My Vision is the hymn from Michael Card's album Star Kindler. I do pray that the Lord will hold your heart and you would know Jesus personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart. May the Heavenly Father surround you with his constant and abiding and accompanying love.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFR.